broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
That's very concerning. I'm very scared. I first of all, I can't even believe that could happen.
It was originally, really, it was, well, Dawes Butler was the original guy who did it, but then it was...
Well, there's a couple of cuts there of Captain Beefheart, anyway, and the world-famous Phil Hendry Show off and running here tonight on this Friday night. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, a news talk and information show that knows what it's talking about. And, brother, every night we go through the looking glass and we take it beyond where other talk shows would like to go, but, man, they just can't. National Organization of Women is up in arms over Hooters. Al Sharpton says the FCC is mulling over public hearings to discuss Rush Limbaugh's alleged racism. Plus, who does President Obama need to fire to get reelected? Is that going to help? We think that it may not, but we also think that there's a prerequisite here, and that is that the president needs to can a whole lot of people. Who are they going to be? We'll talk about that later on tonight as well. Our special guest this evening, we have Ron Tarner. Who will be talking with us about his right now substitute teaching duties in Colorado and the students and their Christmas presents. And the whole paradigm is changing as a teacher, especially around Christmas time. And giving gifts to teachers, is that such a wise thing to do? Coming up here in just a second or so, we have Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. And Doug is going to be discussing with us, if I've got the article... Doug is going to be discussing with us the Yogi Bear movie, which has come out, and you just heard a little bit of Dan Aykroyd talking about it there, as he talked about doing the voice of Yogi in the newly released film Yogi Bear 3D, and how it's really just mimicking the Honeymooners cast, the Yogi Bear with Boo Boo, and with, I guess Boo Boo is kind of like Ed Norton, but let's listen here to Dan Aykroyd before we get any further into this. And where is the bloody Dan Aykroyd, man? Garden Nazi Yogi Bear. Here's Dan Aykroyd talking about Yogi Bear.
You know, it was originally, really, it was, well, Dawes Butler was the original guy who did it. But then it was based, I mean, I think I can safely say, on Art Carney from the Honeymooners. And in fact, Art Carney's family went to Hanna-Barbera and said, you're using the voice. And I believe they did get compensation for the use of his voice. And then Dawes Butler. And of course, the hat and the collar. All that's missing is the vest. So you'd think that the Boo Boo character would be the Carney character and the Yogi character would be the Gleason character. But no, the lead character here is that kind of Carney character.
Hey, Doug Danger joins us from the Orange County Courier as we talk about the Yogi Bear movie. But I guess we're not really talking so much about the film. You didn't like the film, did you?
I didn't like the movie, and I watched the movie, Phil. I know you and I are going to talk about this. I watched the movie in the company of my 7-year-old niece. My sister and her husband are in Hawaii, and it's a second, not a second honeymoon, but I guess they're getting a second vacation in. And so my niece and her grandparents, my parents, are in town, and we're sort of changing off. So I had my niece today. And my parents thought it would be a good idea that I take her to see the Yogi Bear movie because I was going to go see it anyway.
Are you were going to review it?
I did review it for the paper, yeah, because I do an entertainment column. And here's the thing that I want to mention, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and so I'm there to watch a film, and I'm there to tell the truth about a film. And the truth about the Yogi Bear film is, as sad to say, is it's not a very good movie. It's a, in point of fact, it's a terrible movie. And it's a terrible movie for a lot of different reasons that I could go into, but I don't really, right now I don't want to do it. I'll just tell you that it was an absolute excruciating experience.
Well, can you give us an idea of what was bad about the film? And let me ask you this, your 7-year-old niece?
That's right.
Did she like it?
She did like it because she's 7 years old. And you give a 7-year-old some 3D glasses and you sit down in a movie theater. And, you know, there's not too much that a 7-year-old isn't going to like about that. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm a reviewer for the Orange County Courier. This is real. This is real world, as they call it. You know, this is real world. And I'm not going to walk out of there skipping and jumping, you know, like I got pigtails. And I know I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but somebody think I'm going to come walking out of there with pigtails and a dress and all of this kind of thing, because I just love the Yogi Bear movie. That did not happen. That did not happen. And what I resented was that, of all days, that I had to spend it with my niece, who I love very dearly, but I certainly don't have the time to spend a day with my niece, review a movie, get back to the paper, write this review, make deadline, and at the same time entertain a niece because my sister and her husband have decided that they want to take a vacation. So
well, then why did you accept the child being with you?
Because there wasn't any choice. Like I said, we're trading off between my parents and me. And my sister is out of town, so my parents, the grandparents, had her yesterday, and I had her today, and I get this assignment. Now, here is the point of what I'm saying. I don't want anybody to get the idea I don't like being with my niece, but I don't like the idea of having to go see one of the worst films I think I've ever seen in my life. And Dan Aykroyd, I am shocked that Dan Aykroyd would even admit to having been in that film. That's how bad it was.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
Can you... I haven't seen it, and there's a lot of people who haven't seen it. Can you compare it to a movie that is just... like a movie that we would all recognize as being just absolutely terrible?
Well, let me think. The film is about as bad a film as the Flintstones movie. Did you see the Flintstones movie with John Goodman?
I did not see that, but I did hear that sucked.
The Flintstones movie with John Goodman was it was an abomination. It really was. It was an insult to the actual craft of acting. It was an insult to the craft of filmmaking. It was, in my opinion, it was almost an act of rape against the profession of lighting and sound. I think you can safely say that it was a forcible sexual violence against, for instance, craft services.
And all right, so the Flintstones movie you're talking about was that bad?
The Flintstones movie was that... you know how bad that movie was?
It was pretty bad.
All right, well, this is the Yogi Bear movie. Now, Justin Timberlake plays Boo Boo. Tom Cavanaugh plays Ranger Smith. It doesn't make any difference. You know, Justin Timberlake had a good turn in Social Network.
Yes, he did. He was very good in Social Network.
He really was. And so you're thinking Justin Timberlake is on his way to an acting career. Well, guess what? He just took his acting career and, for the moment anyway, has thrown it into the street just in time for someone to hose it into the sewer. So I had to go and watch this movie with a 7-year-old girl, my niece, who was having herself the time of her life. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That means I've got to be honest. And so I had to tell my niece, you know, I don't like the movie. She said, Uncle Doug, what do you think of this movie? I said, it's a terrible movie. It's horrifying. I'm sorry that I'm watching it. And because I'm honest, I literally took the 3D glasses from her and I threw them in the garbage.
And oh, you didn't do that, Doug.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right?
And well, what does that mean, you're a gay man and a gay journalist? You took your niece's 3D glasses?
Well, please don't make it out like I'm a bad guy. I'm an honest mom. Everyone know I'm a gay man and a... Are you listening to me? I'm gay, right?
And I know you're gay, man, so that means that you're so honest you took a little girl's 3D glasses and threw them in the garbage. Why?
I will not have my niece thinking that what she just saw was a good movie. I won't have that happen. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And my niece went into that movie with her Uncle Doug, who is a film critic and a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm not going to have a member of my family, my flesh and blood, walking out of the Yogi Bear movie, gee, Uncle Doug, that was so good. Now, I did not take her glasses and throw them away right away. That happened after we had the incident.
And all right, I know you got into something at Baskin-Robbins. I'm going to give our number out. It's 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier. He took his niece to see the film Yogi Bear today, the Yogi Bear 3D, I think is the name of the movie. Now, you guys, you know, it's funny. You're going to go see a movie, Doug, and you're going to review it for the paper, and we understand this. How does this turn into a little girl gets her 3D glasses thrown away?
Can I explain how it gets turned into that?
Go ahead.
When my sister goes to Hawaii with her husband, and she says that you, Doug, and Mom and Dad can watch, and I don't want to give my niece's name, if you don't mind.
That's all right.
Can watch our girl, And today, Friday, my mother and father said, take your niece to see the Yogi Bear. But that's how it happened.
Why couldn't you tell your parents that you were busy?
Because, well, you don't listen too good, do you? Because they had them yesterday.
And well, you could. I am listening, Doug, very carefully. I'm just wondering. All right, so you took your niece with you, and
you know, a lot of kids like to go to work with their aunt or their uncle or their mom or their dad. It's kind of an exciting thing. So she wanted to come with Uncle Doug because he's going to go watch this movie. And it's a Yogi Bear movie. I said, well, what, you know, how can it be bad? Well, we sat through the worst film that, as I said, that I've seen since the Flintstones. And now I'm in a lousy mood because as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I'm not going to lie and say to my niece, oh, yeah, I really had a good time. Because she asked me, Uncle Doug, what did you think? I said to her, I would rather, frankly, I'd rather not have had you as a niece than to force you to see that film. And she looked at me like, but she knows that her Uncle Doug is honest. And
what a thing to say to a kid.
Oh, get off it, Phil, will you? You
know, no, that's a hell of a thing to say to a kid. You know, what'd you think, Uncle Doug? I'd rather not have you as a niece than...
Yeah, Phil, my niece is aware of my honesty. My whole family is. I'm gay. Okay? And I don't want you to forget that as we're talking, because that is my honesty. Now, I said, what do you want to do now? Because I knew I had to get back. She said, I want to get an ice cream. We go over to Baskin Robbins, and I see this kid standing behind the counter. And he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. He's got the ice cream scoop. And he says, what do you want? I said, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and my niece wants a double scoop of chocolate in a little paper tray. And he gives me this eyeball, that roll the eyeball thing that these kids do nowadays. You know what I'm talking about?
He rolled his eyes at you.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay. I mean, that, you know.
What?
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I want, you know, two scoops of ice cream.
What about it?
I guess he's going to roll his eyes.
Well, he rolled his eyes at the wrong guy because I went around behind the counter, I grabbed him, and I put him up against the wall, and I said, you got a problem with me being gay? And he said, no, sir, I don't. I said, good. And I took my niece and we left.
Doug, you know, that sounds to me like you embarrassed that girl.
I'm on your program tonight to talk about the Yogi Bear movie.
Can I just make a comment? You're telling me about stuff other than the Yogi Bear movie.
I'm telling you what happened to my day because I was forced to watch the Yogi Bear movie with my niece.
Okay, so you take a little girl into Baskin Robbins after the movie to get some ice cream. You say to the kid, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I want a double scoop of chocolate. The kid rolls his eyes at you, and you go behind the counter and grab him and push him up against the wall?
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what I did. And I asked him, you hate, and I used the word, F. I used the F word. Do you hate F word? And he said, no, sir, I don't. I said, well, that's real good. And I took my niece and we left.
So you were just all pissed off, man, after this movie.
Yes, I was. As a matter of fact, I was very pissed off. It was the worst movie I've ever seen, and I saw it in the company of someone that I love very much, my niece. And she's all Uncle Doug this and Uncle Doug that. And I said to her, your Uncle Doug has to be honest with you. That movie that we just witnessed, I would rather you had gone to see documentary footage of concentration camps than to see it.
Are you kidding me? Of course, the kid doesn't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, she does. She knows what I'm talking about.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay journalist.
I know you're gay, so in other words, you can't lie to anybody. You can't position anything. You have to come right out and say to a little 7-year-old girl, I'd rather you watch concentration camps. I'd rather that you not even have been my niece. You say things that could be so hurtful.
She wanted to get... You think she cares? She's a kid. You understand? All she wanted was her Baskin Robbins.
And you didn't even get her that, man, because you got into it with the kid behind the counter. Did she get any ice cream?
Yeah, she got some ice cream. We stopped by Vaughn's, and I got her a whole half gallon, and they went home, and the kids, her and a couple of her friends, and by that time my parents were back, they made ice cream. But what happened to the point that I'm trying to make here, what happened to my day? My day is destroyed. I see a lousy movie, some punk, and then I got to go back and work 2 extra hours to write a review of a film. I wouldn't use the film to wrap a Christmas present. I apologize.
Hold the line here. Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier, a gay man and a gay journalist. 877-876-PHIL. As you went to see the film Yogi Bear 3D, says it's the worst movie he's ever seen. took his niece to see it, was so put out by taking his niece to see it, that when afterwards he and his 7-year-old niece went to get ice cream, he got into a physical confrontation with the kid behind the ice cream counter. Because he said, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist and I want chocolate ice cream, and the kid did. I would expect somebody would roll their eyes a little bit at someone coming at him like that. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I mean, even if our jobs are the worst in the world, do we have any right to include in our depression and our anger and our resentment our little people, our kids or our nieces or our nephews? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Our number here, 877-876-PHIL. So when your niece is with Uncle Doug, is that the only niece that you have?
Well, I've got a nephew. My nephew's back east, my brother. But this is the West Coast family, my sister and her husband. And so that's who I see is most of the time is my niece.
Okay, so You had to go to a movie, and you took your niece. It sounded like a really, it sounds to me, Doug, like the day might have started off pretty good. Hey, I'm going to go see Yogi the Bear, so I'll take my niece.
Yeah, it sounded okay. But the fact is, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. So you send me to a movie that should never have been made, never have been made. The film should never have been made. That's how bad it is. So I'm going to be honest about it. And when we came out of the theater, and my niece still had on her little 3D glasses, I said, honey, that's the worst movie Uncle Doug's ever seen. She said, what'd you think, Uncle Doug? I said, it was horrible. Give me those glasses. I took them off, and I broke them in half and put them in the waste paper basket. And
did she get upset?
Yeah, well, she was upset, but I told her, you know, and again, I said, look, you got to understand, Uncle Doug is a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm not going to have you be all happy about a movie that I would rather you sit and watch them bulldoze corpses into a pit at Bergen-Belsen than...
Oh, come on, Doug. You're not saying that to a 7-year-old.
Yes, I am. I'm a gay man, and I don't know how many times I got to tell you.
So you got to just completely say something as gruesome as that. I'd rather see you watching a film of them bulldozing corpses into a pit.
That's exactly correct. That's exact. Rather than see the Yogi Bear movie, absolutely.
877-876. Wow. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Debbie in Valdosta, Georgia. Hi, Debbie. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I'd just like to tell this man that what he's saying is ridiculous. I'm a
gay. The Yogi Bear movie is bad?
I'm a straight mother, a straight grandmother, okay? And...
So what?
Well, so what? You're a gay man and a gay journalist. But what I'd like to say is...
Well, he's interviewing me. He's not interviewing you. Nobody called you up to talk to you. They called me up to talk to me about the movie, see?
I am.
And so that's what I'm doing. I'm talking about the movie.
Just because you didn't enjoy the
movie. And he wants to know about me, I'm telling him about me, see?
But
nobody called you up to talk to you.
Your child enjoyed the movie. You didn't enjoy the movie. But the movie is for
the adult.
The movie is basically for
the adult.
You're an adult.
Wait a minute. You're the adult, but you're an adult, so your niece isn't supposed to enjoy it?
No, my niece knows that her uncle reviews movies. And when my niece said, "What do you think, Uncle Doug?" I said to her, "That movie was the most puerile garbage." And I said, "Give me those 3D glasses."
And she didn't agree.
And I would do that.
She's a child, and
she's eight.
It.
She's eight. Yeah. Well, her opinion doesn't. When you're 8 years old, your opinion doesn't count. Hello, where are you from? I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, I'm not going to have an.
All right. Hold on. 877-876. Phil, we'll be back with Doug Danger and Yogi the Bear 3D.
Phil Hendry.
What are you talking about?
Thank you. world-famous Bill Henry Show.
That, you know. I know that, Doug. We're back with Doug Danger here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, as Doug was talking with us here over the break about Yogi the Bear 3D. His niece liked it. You didn't like it, Doug, and you were put out by having to go see such a rotten movie and then take your niece to get ice cream. And this, and I understand you like spending time with your niece. Now, you come out of that film, and your niece asks you, Uncle Doug, what'd you think of the film? And you said that you thought it was a bad movie, and she said she thought...
Let me tell you what happened so that you can hear it from someone who was actually there. And I'm not saying that, you know, that you weren't listening, Phil, but please listen. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm walking out of this movie theater in Belmont Shores with my niece today. And she says to me, Uncle Doug, that was so good. What'd you think of that movie? I said to her, honey, Uncle Doug thought that movie was horrible. And Uncle Doug feels so sad that you, his niece, you come from the same family as me. You come from the same, you know, my grandma, you know, grandma and grandpa. She said, yeah, I said, that's mom and dad for me. And yet you thought that movie was good, and it's not good. I said, that makes me feel, you know, like I want to cry. And I said, let me have your 3D glasses. I threw them in the garbage. I said, okay, enough with that movie. Now, do you want ice cream? She goes, yeah. So she's all, you know, she's upset, but I bought her off. Let's go get some ice cream.
You bought her off, huh?
What do you think you do with a kid, Phil? Where have you been, man? So we go get ice cream. That's when this kid at Baskin-Robbins said, I said, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I want two scoops of ice cream, and I want it in a paper tray now. And he looks at me with the rolled eyeball, that high school eyeballs rolled up in the head thing, and that's when I went around the counter, and he's turning toward me. He's got this ice cream scoop in his hand, and I grabbed him by the shirt. I pinned him up against the tile wall, and I said, you got a problem with me being gay, huh? And he said, no, sir, I don't. I said, well, that's good. And I dropped him about a foot to the floor. I lifted him a foot up off the floor, and I grabbed my niece, and we left. I went to Vaughn's. We got some ice cream. Now, I said to my niece, do you want me to rent James and the Giant Peach? That's a good kids movie. And she had I don't know what's wrong. She hates James and the Giant Peach. Now, that's a great movie. And it was written, by the way, by Raoul Dahl, who was a war hero. And I told my niece that. I said, sweetie, this was written by a war hero. And she said, I hate that movie. And I said, okay, then guess what? When we get home, I'm going to show you pictures of corpses being bulldozed into ditches. And
you did not.
No, I didn't, but I said that that's what I wanted to do. A war hero wrote that, and my niece thinks she didn't want to see it.
Doug, I think to me it sounds like you're throwing too much stuff at this kid. She liked the movie. You didn't like the movie. You write your column, and that's the end of that. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Chiquita in Mobile, Alabama. Chiquita, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger.
Hi. I have a comment. I'm not understanding. You say that your niece is 8 years old, right?
She's seven.
Seven. And the main goal of you taking her to the movies was for y'all to spend time together, right?
No, the main goal was I wanted to take her to work with me. I had to watch this movie. I review films for the Orange County Courier. But my parents said, why don't you take, you know, your niece? And I said, okay. So she's with me at this children's movie, this Yogi Bear movie. I'm there to watch the movie because I'm going to do a review of it later on for the paper.
Okay.
But you are spending time with your niece, right?
Yeah, no, I'm spending time with my niece. I enjoy spending time with my niece, yeah. But Uncle Doug is working.
Okay.
Okay, well, this is my point. Okay, the comment you made earlier with saying that you took the glasses off and threw
it inside the trash can. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
What does that have to do with anything that you was asked to do? Okay, straight journalists watch movies they don't like.
But they don't see it with the same eye. They don't see it with the same eye that a gay sees it. As a gay man and a gay journalist, I'm looking with a very uncritical eye.
Okay, so what you should have done was watch the movie before you let your niece see it. Therefore, if you didn't like it, okay, you wouldn't have went overboard by taking the glasses off and throwing them inside the trash can. And about you going to Baskin Robbins, what does you being a gay journalist have to do with you getting some ice cream? That's what I want to know.
The young man looked at me. What? Wait a minute. I walked into
You started your conversation with him by saying, I'm a gay journalist. I want 2 scoops of ice cream in a paper cup. What does that got to do with you getting ice cream by you being a gay journalist?
I said I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I want 2 scoops
of chocolate ice cream. What does that have to do with getting? What does that got to do with you getting ice cream?
Can I ask you a question? Did I say that he's ugly? Did I say F you? Did I use any bad? I didn't say anything bad to him. I didn't upset. I didn't insult him. I just said I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I want 2 scoops of that ice cream, and I want you to do it now.
Well, maybe you were being rude to him.
Now? Yes, doing it now. That's you commanding him. It seems like you asking him. You asked him whether or not he have a problem with you being gay. It seems like you have a problem with you being gay, because it seems like everything you've been saying since you've been on the radio has more to do with you being gay than anything. Okay, you're gay.
Apparently you haven't been listening. I've been talking about my niece. I talked about my movie. I've talked about my niece. I talked about the 3D glasses. I talked about the corpses getting bulldozed into Bergen-Belsen. I talked about going...
Okay. What is with Bergen-Belsen, man?
Well, when you asked me, I told my niece, I said, I love you. You know Uncle Doug loves you, but I would rather you had never been born.
Why would you say something like that to a little kid right after you saw a movie?
Did I just get done telling you and this lady I'm gay?
And that's another thing. What did her mom dad say to you? Did you tell them that you told your niece that you would rather her not been born?
They're in Hawaii. They're in Hawaii. It's me and my parents and our niece and nephew and their grandchildren.
I got a good idea for you.
Apparently you don't. They're in Hawaii right now. My sister and her husband are in Hawaii, okay? That's the parents, and they're in Hawaii. Now, I went over there to Baskin-Robbins, and I didn't insult the guy. I said, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Get your ass moving and get me 2 scoops of chocolate. Now, you're telling me...
That's why he rolled his eyes at you.
Well, then
that's
he didn't
why
say
he rolled his
me
eyes
being
at
gay.
You.
Well, it had nothing to do with me being gay, though.
Okay, even if it didn't have anything to do about you being gay...
Yeah.
You told him to
okay,
move
Doug.
His tail now.
I did. I
Who
walked
does
in there.
That?
That's very rude, Doug.
You want respect by you being a gay journalist. You want that respect because you're gay and you're a journalist. But you go to Baskin-Robbins and tell somebody to move their butt, and you actually expect them not to have some kind of expression about that?
Excuse me, ma'am. I had to get my niece home. I had to get back to the paper. I had to write a review. The date was going downhill real fast. I had just spent 2 hours watching the worst film in history. And now I'm over there. I'm trying to get her ice cream. This kid's standing there. You know how these high school kids are. They're about 13 years old with pimples. They weigh about 90 pounds with an ice cream scoop in their hand. And you got to get them motivated. You know, you're going to say to them, yes, I'd like this. You got to tell them. You got to order them around. You, get that ice cream in that paper plate. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Get your ass moving.
What are you talking about, Doug? You don't have to talk to people like that.
You know, Phil, if you want to be the world's doormat, you go ahead.
No, I don't have to do that. I can walk into Baskin-Robbins and say to anybody who's working in there, whether it's a young person, hi, how you doing, man? I'd like to have this, that. What's with you, man?
What? You have to order these kids around. You get these 13-year-old kids out of a middle school standing there with a bug-eyed look, with an ice cream scoop like they're holding the banner to an army that's going up a hill to take a fort, and you say to them, 2 scoops, chocolate ice cream in that paper tray, and you better get it here now, or something really bad's going to happen.
And you're lucky that they don't spit inside your food. But the way you talk to somebody, you're lucky that your food does not have spit in it.
Well, now we know that what you do when you were a waitress. Aha!
Wait a minute. She's talking about mistreating people.
They're not going to spit in my food, ma'am. I can see every scoop they're putting into the tray. And why would they spit into my niece's food? That's why I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Because I think of these things, and you don't.
All right, look at Chiquita. Thank you very much for your call. Very good points. 877-876-PHIL. You, and the lady's point is a good one. You walked in there with an attitude. You walked in there.
Of course I went. Are you telling me that human beings don't have attitudes and have...
Yeah, as civilized human beings, whether we have attitudes or not, we keep them to ourselves and we don't inflict them on every person that we see. We recognize that these things have to do with ourselves and don't necessarily have to do with the world around us. And to just go charging in like a bull in a china shop because your day's messed up, so you're going to order this kid and you never met him before, you're going to take your little niece and throw the glasses...
You realize you're talking to a gay man and a gay journalist, right?
Yes, I understand that. I understand that.
And you're talking to me like that? You're talking to me like that. I'm gay. And when I go in to watch a film, and
I understand that you're gay.
When I go in to watch a film and review a film, I go in with honesty and with the clarity of the clear eye that my gayness, that being gay gives me, that a gay eye gives me. And that's what you don't understand. That's what this lady didn't understand.
877-876-PHIL is the number. We'll go to Diane now. Diane in Pascagoula, Mississippi, listening on WAVH. Hello, Diane. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. Good. Thank you.
You know, it's what I said a while ago. You know, you said that your little 8-year-old niece, that her opinion doesn't matter. Well, no. I have 5 grandchildren from 11 years to 6 months. And baby, when they open their mouth and talk to their granny, their opinion matters. It doesn't matter how old you are, who you are, what you are. People's opinion matters. People have feelings, and you seem to like to stomp all over them.
Well, ma'am, if your grandkids have feelings and opinions, and they said, Grandma, why don't you drive your car off a cliff? Are you going to take that opinion into consideration? Are you going to say, let me just mull that over? I don't think so. It's a kid,
no.
And you treat it like a kid. Yes, I love you. I'm going to protect you. But your opinion, it matters about as much as a ripple in a toilet bowl to me. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay... What?
Who cares that you're gay? You know
I'm
what?
A gay,
who,
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Who cares? Who cares?
Well, my niece is going to have to care if she's going to tell me what she thinks of Yogi Bear 3D.
What the hell has that got to do with you being gay?
You know that I had to spend extra... You know, I had to spend extra for those 3D glasses, by the way.
You know what? She was your niece. You should have.
I did. And I did gladly. And then I sat down.
You should have done it just because she asked you to. Not because you didn't like it. You should have just enjoyed the time that you had with her. Because you know what? Someday she may not be around.
No niece of mine, no niece of mine is gonna come out of a movie like Yogi Bear and go, ooh, I thought it was so good, Uncle Doug. No. She's part of my family, and she's gonna know when she sees a rotten movie, she's gonna know it.
Oh God, man! And then you take her little glass. You know, you're like one of these guys, or these parents that they have the child prodigy. The kid can't have any fun. They got to sit at the piano morning, noon, and night. They got to be a little adult. That's what you want your niece to be. You want her. She's not the aspiring Mozart. She's an aspiring film reviewer. And you want her to be an adult right now.
My niece is going to be bigger than Judith Crist. She's going to be bigger than Charles Champlin. Bigger than any of them. You watch. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Her parents.
What's
and that? If I tell you what, if her parents find out that you said you wish she'd have never been born, I tell you what, I don't know if it's your brother or your sister, but one of them needs to put a bullet between your eyes.
Oh, my God. You killed somebody for an opinion like that?
That's right.
You dirty old bag. Somebody ought to drown you in the Gulf.
Oh, hey, now watch it.
Out there, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And you think I ought to be shot? Because I said to my niece, I'd rather she wouldn't. I was protecting her. I was saying I'd rather you had not have been born than to have to watch Yogi the Bear.
God. She is 8 years old.
You know what's incredible to me is you don't want your niece born because she had to watch Yogi the Bear.
That's right. Are you going to now do some of your humor, Mr. Henry? Is that what you're going to do?
No, No. You would rather your niece not be born than watch Yogi the Bear.
I didn't say the cartoon. I said this rotten movie I watched.
But still, you'd rather she watch concentration camp film than see that.
Yes, that's right. You got it.
People dying, people bodies being bulldozed into a pit. That's what you'd like her to see instead of Yogi the Bear.
That's how... You know what you two people are not doing? You're not saying... Wow, this movie must have really been bad. No, you're saying, how weird is that? She should watch Yogi the Bear. I'm gay. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Who cares?
I don't know if this lady
comes.
You're aware of that? What's
Who
that?
Who cares?
You do?
Nobody cares that
yes,
you're gay.
Yes, you do.
All right. I could care less.
I care that I'm gay. You care that I'm gay. And you know why you
care
that I'm
no,
gay?
Sir.
Because you can rely on my film reviews because of my gay eye.
Not me.
All right.
Yes, you can. Well, where is she?
Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Forget it.
Anyway, thank you very much, Diane, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I'd rather she watch concentration camp footage. I'd rather she not have been born than to see Yogi the Bear 3D. That's a film reviewer, folks, that's lost his, he's off his rocker. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with our conclusion to Doug Danger. Next hour, we have Ron Tarner on Christmas Gifts for Teacher, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Because I'm gay, you know.
I understand. 877-876-PHIL. We're back with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier as we talk about Yogi Bear 3D. The film came out today. Doug took his niece to a press screening, and you didn't like it. We're going to go to some more phone calls, but in not liking it, you also told your niece you couldn't keep her 3D glasses. You were in a real foul mood, weren't you?
I was in a very foul mood. I'm in a very foul mood. And
why were you in that foul mood? You say because you had to go to work.
Well, I mean, Phil, the honest answer is I was in a foul mood today, and I treated my little niece a little rough today, and I'll tell you why. Because some individuals in Hollywood at a studio decided to not work very hard one day, and they said, why don't we just not work today? And so someone said, okay, I got a great idea. Let's make a movie out of Yogi the Bear, and that's what they did. So they did no work at all. They threw 3D on it so that somehow the average person in flyover America would get suckered in to go see it. You go in, you sit down, you watch this, and within 20 minutes, your entire childhood, everything that you enjoyed as a kid is meaningless. It loses all of its meaning. There's no point to your life anymore, because they've taken Yogi Bear, a fond memory, and they have turned him into, what's the term that the Italians use, half a fag, you know?
Okay, let's not use that word, if you don't mind.
You know what I'm saying.
They turn Yogi Bear into that. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Makana in Mobile, Alabama. Makana, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I was just wondering why you care what your niece thought of the movie if a child's opinion doesn't even matter.
Well, because my niece is the niece of a film critic, of Doug Danger. So she needs to have an opinion that is going to mirror the correct opinion. And if she doesn't,
what
then it doesn't
you
matter.
Think,
you're right.
What makes you think you have the correct opinion? Is it because you're a gay man and a gay journalist?
Yes. A lot of it, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that you're a good influence on your niece?
Yes, I do. Because I demand excellence from my niece. I demand excellence. I don't demand her like most of these kids are going to go into that movie theater with an all-day sucker, sit there, get all the candy all over them. They're going to have a sugar high. They're going to go home and be uncontrollable. My niece learns about film sitting with her uncle, and she learned that Yogi the Bear 3D was about as foul a thing. I mean, pornography, graphic, gay porn.
Oh, come on. You got to be kidding.
I'm kidding a little bit, but still.
So you are kidding a little bit.
No, not about the movie. No. I'm kidding when I said I'd rather she watch porn, but no, I'm not kidding about the movie.
I have another question.
I thought that's what you've been asking. Haven't you been asking questions?
Pardon?
Haven't you been asking questions? So you have a question.
Yeah.
Do you
have
an opinion?
That's what we're supposed to do, call in with questions.
Do you have opinions? Do you have any opinions?
I'm just trying to figure out if you're for real.
Are you for real, Doug, or are you just putting us on?
No, you're right, Phil. I'm kidding. Yogi the Bear, great movie. Go see it. There. You feel better about that? I'm more than happy. You want to spend your money, go see it.
All right, McConnell, thanks. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to another phone call here. We have, who is that? Rich in Redding, California. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
Boy, that was about as dull a phone call as I've ever taken on your show.
That's fine. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, guys. I'm a straight man, a straight listener. Listen,
That's witty. That is the wittiest. You're a straight man, straight listener.
Thanks. Anyway, I agree with you, Doug, though. I agree. I think that these
Let's go over to Royce on the Phil Henry Show. Roy, oh, we don't have any. We've run out of time. How do you like that? But Doug, I would simply say the following thing, that you don't take your niece to another movie.
I'll take my niece to any movies that her parents approve of and that I do, and she's going to learn what a good... I'm glad that I was on your show today. Everybody knows that Yogi the Bear 3D blows Chipmunk. How about that?
Okay.
It's a tie-in with Alvin and the Chipmunk. Forget it.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Speaking specifically, and I have to ask you about this, the allegations in Sweden. You said many times, smear campaign.
As the subject was in a seated position, he used a two-handed...
That's very concerning. I'm very scared.
Of our colleagues last night and others who didn't think that the agreement...
That is a threat on the radio.
Yeah, something like that.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. On this show, truth is our bitch. And we'll go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. It's not that they choose not to go there. They can't. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Tarner joins us from the Cloverdale, Colorado, the Mountain Meadow Observatory. He's going to join us this hour to discuss a controversy at his local school after receiving an expensive Christmas gift from a student. And don't forget, our website is philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com. You can watch a live streaming video of the show right now. Watch me perform the show. You can watch that live streaming video. Eventually, you can watch that on-demand streaming video. You can also access thousands of hours of archived Phil Hendry material. You can watch our webisodes. You can watch our animated features. You can listen to all kinds of different features, as well as look at our blog and comment on our blog as a Backstage Pass member. Now, we also have our shop open, and right now we are selling the classic best of CDs. So if you have a Phil Hendry fan in the family, I guess that you would be a Phil Hendry fan if you're watching the show right now. So get one for yourself. Get all of them if you'd like. From 97 through 2005, all of our best of CDs available at the Phil Hendry shop there at philhendryshow.com. So Ron Tarner, who has often commented with us and been with us a variety of times talking about scientific as well as political events relative to the scientific. But Ron, you have been doing some fill-in at the Cloverdale at the high school there for the school district, I know. And I think it's interesting, your experience as opposed to other teachers' experience this time of year with Christmas presents.
Phil, we've got this school district is located in a pretty affluent area of Colorado. Cloverdale is around 60 miles from Denver, and so it's a commute, but it is within the outer ring of Denver. And as a result of that, we have quite a few of these communities that are gated and well-to-do. And so the students come from these good homes. And it's very interesting for a teacher such as myself filling in at Christmas time to encounter the lifestyles of some of these young people. And to the case of the young lady that I was speaking to about.
Well, let me before you tell me that, I want to sort of set this up, because you received from a young student, and I know that you don't want to get into names, a rather expensive Christmas present, didn't you?
Well, it was I would look at it more as a very, very thoughtful Christmas present. I'm a scientist by a profession. I fill in and teach as a way to augment my income. But science is my love. It is my career. And what I received, which was this iPad, was very thoughtful, given how I go about my day and having something like that.
Now, the student that gave this to you, this young lady, was she known to you?
Well, she was in my class.
Well, by that I mean, was she a student that you had noted throughout the school year? Was this a surprise?
It was a student who had been struggling. we had, and just before you jumped to any conclusions, I know a lot of people like to do that. We'd had a series of tests, and we're talking about a calculus class, Phil, and a Algebra 2 class.
Okay.
And we'd had a series of tests, and we had determined that this student was struggling. But we do have quite a large number, because this is a junior class where we include two classes. So instead of 30, we have 60 students for a couple of these classes. So earlier this week, she came into the class, this young woman, and said, Dr. Turner, I would like to give you this for Christmas. It's a Christmas present for myself and my family. And she left. And I opened it, and it was a brand new iPad. The irony of this is that she was, you know, the irony of this is that she was doing so poorly in the class, and she presents me with this iPad. And you have a quandary, you really do, because...
Let me ask you something. Is this a, you know, to get a gift like this...
No, there's nothing immoral about it. There's nothing unethical about getting a gift. Children give their teachers gifts at Christmas time. There's no question about it. The iPad is a very expensive gift, but it is not unusual to get a gift from a student. So when I received this, I talked to some friends of mine, and I concluded, including individuals who are teaching, I said, well, what I'd like to do is to go ahead and pass her. And I know it.
You're going
to
go ahead and pass her based on the gift.
Now, I know what that sounds like, but if I could explain for a moment. I don't know that you've ever been in this position, and I really don't think anyone listening to you right now has ever been in this position where you get a gift like an iPad, which has, I have to tell you, Phil, it's made my work at the observatory a much, much easier. I can access a number of different sites that have satellite coordinates on them, that have mathematical equation and input, signal input, and I could get all of these very, very quickly on the iPad. And
well, you're telling me about what this gift does for you, but let's remember.
If I could just tell you, there's also an app for virtually everything I do, so my day has become so much more efficient.
All right, but I want to ask you a question. First of all, did this family go out and buy this?
Well, that's what I wanted to tell you. No, they did not. The girl's mother works for a tech company that creates applications, and they had access to these iPads, and so they gave me one. Now, let's talk about what you want to talk about, which is the appropriateness of it.
Well, I think we've moved past that conversation. I think we're now at a place where you said that you went ahead and if I heard you correctly anyway, you said that you went ahead and passed her. Now, let me give our phone number out. Hold on.
Well, and I will tell you why.
Well, hold on. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Turner is doing some fill-in at a high school in the Denver, Colorado area, was given an iPad by a student that was flunking the class. Am I right about that?
Well, I did not say she was flunking the class. I said,
well, you said she hadn't passed any tests.
That is correct. You're right about that. And yes, by all rights, she was flunking the class. I was looking for a way to help her, and that was the irony of it. I was looking, how do I help her? How do I make this student perform better? And she walks in and gives me an iPad. Now, first of all, she didn't wait for me to unwrap the gift. She walked in, and I don't even think she wanted me to see her. I saw her slip this onto my desk, turn, and leave. And the card said, from so-and-so, it's been a great pleasure being in your class. I hope you could use this. And I hope that I certainly am on my way to a good future, too, because I've been in your class. And I certainly understand what that message was. You have to ask yourself, do you flunk someone that gives you an iPad? I would ask you that, Phil. Do you flunk someone that gives you an iPad?
Do I flunk someone that gives me an iPad if they deserve it?
Wrong answer. Wrong answer.
Well, what do you mean wrong answer?
How do you, because you are not reflecting on the reality of the situation. If you have a student that gives you an iPad for a Christmas present, do you flunk her?
I'm telling you right now, if she deserved to be flunked, then even if she gave me an iPad, I'd flunk her.
Wrong answer. You know.
Well, we can go through this wrong answer.
No, because I've lived it. You haven't lived it. I've lived it. I've lived it. I lived it this week. I lived the reality of someone coming in and putting an iPad on my desk and saying in the card, it's been a great pleasure being in your class. I hope that I benefit as much as you do from our relationship, or as much as you had, I should say.
And do you understand that this so you understand what was being asked of you?
Well, absolutely, yes.
This is a very clear message. I hope that I benefit as much as you have from our relationship. This is a student who's bribing you.
Well, there is where you and I are going to diverge, Phil, in our opinion. I don't call it a bribe.
Well, what do you call it?
I call it a reminder of the difficulty of life.
And oh, come on. You're dancing around with this, Ron.
No, I am not dancing around with it. And until you've walked a mile in my shoes, my friend, until you walked a mile in my shoes, she gave me an iPad. Now, I'm going to ask you the question again. How do you flunk someone who's given you an iPad? It would be in such poor taste to flunk this individual who just gave me a $500 gift. $500.
All right. So all students need to do in Ron Tarner's class is give him a $500 gift, and they're going to pass.
So you think I'm a whore, don't you? That's what you called me.
That's what you're saying.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you most... You're not? You just said to me, how do you flunk someone?
If one person gave you a $500 gift, yes. How do you flunk them? If suddenly there is a flood of $500 gifts, you know that someone is trying to yank your chain. At that point, then, yes, I would flunk... I'd flunk a lot of them. But one person coming to me whose family has money... And has access to things that I could use in my career, things that our observatory could use. Do you understand that the cutbacks at the state level in the state of Colorado are destroying science in this state?
Okay, Ron.
Do you understand that the state of Colorado is destroying science as we speak? Do you understand that?
I apparently don't.
All right. And so when a young lady walks up to me and says, here's an iPad, I hope I benefit from our relationship the way you just have now, and I'll be seeing you around, friend, something like that, my feeling is, how do I flunk someone like that?
And you came up with the answer, no, you can't.
I don't know yet. I may still flunk her. But
well, have you started using this iPad?
Oh, yeah. I loaded in all of my...
Well, you're not about to give that back, are you?
I'm using it now, yes.
Well, you're not about to give that back. Hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. Doesn't sound to me like he is. Ron Tarner with us, an astronomer from Cloverdale Observatory in Colorado, talking with us about teaching at the high school there, and that a student gave him an iPad, gave him this gift for Christmas. Ron is now saying to us, you don't flunk someone that just gave you a $500 gift that has changed your work experience in such a positive way by giving you this gift, this iPad, that you just don't flunk them. You know, students give teachers gifts. They do it all the time. But is there such a thing as giving a teacher a pass, saying, you know what, that gift is so nice, that gift is probably something you're going to use, that gift is something that's going to help you, help your career, help your family. Go ahead and pass the kid that gave it to you because you got no choice. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Tarner coming back with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
No, that's you. I want to do it again because you messed it up.
Did not.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Do you have a chance to watch? Okay, we're back here. I was asking Doug, do you have a chance to watch television?
We do not. Sometimes at work later on, you know, if you're in the we have a mess at the observatory, and we might have some time, but not a lot. But I was just. That is a funny commercial.
We're talking about that Decon commercial. Okay, our number is 877-876-PHIL, talking with Dr. Ron Tarner about the high school teaching experience. This is Christmas time. You're getting gifts from students. This is not the first gift you've gotten, and the administration of the school, and I've been given the clearance to mention this kid's name, Tyler Brecken.
Yeah, I know him.
Okay, so you know this young man.
Yes, I do.
Okay. He said to the administration that he gave you a gift and that you, I think that he had a D grade and you upgraded it to a C minus or something?
That is correct, right. Why are you bringing up something that is a part of my personnel record?
Well, I understand that, but I was given this permission, and...
Well, it's part of my personnel record.
But it is part of the public record now, because the family's gone public.
But, you know, boy, this is not fair, Phil. You know, this young lady brought me an iPad. He brought me what you have done, and my congratulations to you, because you now have made it seem like I am arguing on behalf of bribery, and I am most certainly not.
Well, Doug, I don't know what to tell you, because this young man said that he came with a $5 Starbucks gift certificate for you.
That is exactly right. And I used that, and I got exactly one latte. And a young lady came in with an iPad. And I was happy to try to help her in any way that I could, because she helped me in any way that she could. But Tyler Brecken, and I will say it, and I apologize, Tyler Brecken and the cheap mother that he has, because apparently the father, no one knows where he is,
All right, you know, I'm uncomfortable with this conversation.
I thought you would be, and you brought it up.
I'm uncomfortable vilifying the mother. I mean, I'm just saying, he gave you a $5 Starbucks gift certificate, and he got a C-minus from a D grade.
I do not accept gifts from students so they could get a better grade.
But the iPad?
The iPad was an isolated incident.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here. We have Lori in West Palm Beach, Florida. Go ahead, Lori. Or Leslie, I'm sorry.
Leslie,
you're the Philippines.
Cool.
Yeah.
As a teacher, you are window dressing the statement, and the thing is, this person gave you an iPad. You keep repeating it, and no matter how you look at it, it's a gift that came with a fishing hook, and on the fish hook was bait. That was the bait, because if she didn't include that letter or that little follow-up saying, I hope you appreciated this as much as I should be appreciated what's coming to me, basically anybody, and Helen Keller can acknowledge it,
that
was an absolute return. She expected, you know, a payback, which means a better grade. And no matter how you window dress it, you are comparing apples and pears. A gift is a gift, and it should not affect how the outcome of someone's grading is. And if for you to call somebody cheap, you know, for that other gift, you know, who said you even deserve a gift? A gift should come from the heart, not from a scheming mind. And, you know, you're a little bit twisted, brother.
I'm sorry you feel that way. First of all, I would ask the lady,
I am
too. Are you a teacher? Are you a teacher? Are you
a teacher? I have taught. Yes, I have taught.
You know that you know very well what we're up against. You know what we're up against in terms of salary. You know what we're up against in terms of work condition. And you know what we're up against in terms of working condition. When a young lady says, Dr. Tarner, I'd like your life to be better. Here's an iPad. And you're telling me, what am I supposed to do? Give her an F?
Yes, if that's what she deserves.
Excuse me, I'm speaking now. You should have tapped her on the shoulder. And excuse me. You should have tapped her on the shoulder.
That would be sexual harassment. That's sexual harassment.
Please. Then
boy.
You should have dressed her. Excuse me, may I say something? You know,
dresser?
You should have
addressed her. You want me to dress
her? Well, why don't you give another person an opportunity to speak if you don't agree with them? This is an open-air conversation. You should have dressed her and said, the tagline is a little disturbing to me. If you did the right thing, and, you know, morally speaking, you're way beyond the fence. you're not even riding the right fences. You know, you're out there and you're window dressing it in a different direction. And what you're really doing is accepting a gift, and this girl expects something more out of the deal. And what she expects is a better grade. No matter what you, no matter how you color it.
I can honestly tell you, I don't know what you're talking about. I got a beautiful gift.
When you get, I want to say something. When you get a gift from her, Ron, and it says on the card that I hope our relationship benefits me as much as it has you, what do you think that means?
I think that's a young woman hoping that what she's been taught stays with her. And why are you two people so in the sewer with this? Why do you have to be in the sewer? I don't understand that.
Because it's very evident. It's very evident that she expects something more than just a lovely return. She expects that it's going to be exactly, and you know exactly what it is. You know, listen, I wish everybody a better grade. Merry Christmas.
All right, we got to take a break here. Thank you very much, Leslie. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Ron Tarner got an iPad from that student, gave her an A. He gets a $5 Starbucks certificate from one kid, gives him a C. I mean, come on. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
No, you come on.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have Doug Danger. I am so sorry, Ron. I don't know what it is. I just had Doug on, and it could be that I just gave myself one of these dino pep shots. I am going so fast.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Danger, but...
There's something about the two of you guys remind me of each other, but we have Dr. Ron Tarner with us. I apologize, sir. Dr. Ron Tarner from Cloverdale, Colorado, the Mountain Meadow Observatory. He's also doing some fill-in at the Cloverdale School District. And the idea of students giving gifts to teachers, and that's a Dynapep is what I was... I took some Dynapep just before the show.
And what is that?
That is a new product that we're hoping we'll advertise on the show, and I took it before the show started in our uncensored pre-show and talked to my video audience, the video cast audience, about it, so we'll see.
Does it have any caffeine?
Well, I don't know. No, it doesn't have caffeine, but I want to keep talking about what we're talking about here.
All right.
So the idea that this girl brought you an iPad and she now gets an A from an F... You found yourself compelled, correct?
I did not have a choice, Phil. It's as simple as that. I did not have a choice. There are very few instances in life when your back is against the wall. I know what she was asking. I saw this iPad. I did not feel, to be honest with you, I didn't feel safe turning it down.
And you didn't feel safe?
That is correct.
All right, now we're getting somewhere. Did you feel you were threatened?
I didn't feel I was threatened, no. But when I say safe, I felt that if I turned it down, I would lose my connection with a very prominent family in the school district.
And so when you say safe, you're not talking about physical safety. You're talking about your ability to raise money for the observatory.
That is correct, yes. Yes.
The kid that gave you the Starbucks certificate...
The young man that I did not want to talk about, and the school district is now allowing you.
I don't know why you don't want to talk about it, but we're going to have to, Doug, because he gave you a Starbucks certificate. You gave him a C.
He was failing the class as well. He was failing the class as well, and I gave that young man a passing grade.
You gave the other girl an A.
Phil, I don't know how to tell you this, but he gave me a... She gave me an iPad. How do you say to someone who just gave you an iPad, thanks a lot? Guess what? You still get an F.
877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Tarner on the line with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory. Debbie in Buffalo, New York, are on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I'd like to ask the doctor a question. What
yes,
grade did he teach?
These are juniors.
Hello?
Juniors in high school.
Okay, and what's this observatory? Is this something that you fund? Is it through the state?
It is through the state. It is also funded through private donation. We do fundraising. I am a professional astronomer and cosmologist there at Mountain Meadow. And then I also teach in the public school system in Cloverdale, and I've taught in the community college system there as well.
Okay, now wait. So you're a professor. Oh,
yes.
My gosh. I come from a family of teachers, and you disgust
yes, uh-huh.
me. You disgust me.
Well, I don't think you understand my level of teaching. I don't think you...
Oh, yes, I do.
No, I don't think you even understand.
I can bet that you don't have kids. I have a son.
I have a son. I guess you lose that bet. Next.
Did you lose that bet? I have a son. Did you pay his teachers off to put him through school? Or did you make him work
No, my son actually does the work. My son actually pays attention to class.
Okay.
Which means
well, you
what?
Know what?
Well,
you're
means,
not doing...
if you've got an idiot for a kid, what are you blaming me for?
Well, you know, having an idiot for a kid doesn't stop you from giving them an A if they give you an iPad.
There's life lessons to be learned, and a teacher is supposed to be a type of figure to say, you know, things just don't come for free. You have to earn them. You have to work. You have to study. Okay?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that.
And you know what? Just because you gave me an iPad...
You're not putting this into the... here's a student that is not doing the work, but then she gives me an iPad, and it changes my work environment 3,000%.
Okay.
What am I supposed to do? Take it and throw it out a window? You want me to take it?
Bad. No, that's too
take
bad.
Take it and throw it in the street.
You should have said, listen, this is a much too expensive gift. I'm sorry, I can't accept it.
Oh, sure. Right. You were going to do that?
Well,
yes,
why didn't you accept what the lady's saying?
You would do that.
Well, what was that?
You would actually take that iPad and throw it under the wheels of a dump truck going by.
I didn't say that. I said I would give it back to her. You're a teacher.
Well, ma'am, I have to tell you.
Besides, I don't have to tell you.
It's different at my level. It's different at my level. I have a doctorate. Yes,
please
I do.
Don't tell me. I don't know where you people come from
or where you're going. I am.
Well, the woman is trying to tell you that she has people of great education and achievement in her family.
That's fine, but are they teachers? See?
In my family, we come from a family of teachers, a string of teachers.
Wait a minute, you just said they were heart surgeons. Are they heart surgeons that also moonlight as teachers?
Well, that's what you do.
I'm not a heart surgeon.
Listen,
an astronomer.
You know what?
You have no morals.
You have no morals.
I would ask you, is this not a moral man? When someone comes to me who's been flunking a class because she's in the back passing notes to some stud boyfriend, some football player, now she comes to me with a $500 iPad that has changed my life.
Listen, guys.
And I look at her. Am I not allowed to give her an A?
If you're a professor, go out and get a second job so you can buy your own iPad.
Well, that's what we've done with teachers. We have relegated them to the level of busboys and waiters and garbage men. Well, why don't you go get a second job, teacher?
Go get a second job so you can buy your own iPad.
I could go do that, or I could give a young lady hope that she can make it through school, which is what I did. I gave her the gift. I gave her the gift of hope.
Gift of hope of what? Gift of hope. The gift of hope is teaching her to graduate from high school. The gift of hope is not pushing somebody through the system, buddy. What about this kid that gave you the five dollar?
This kid gives me a five. Let me ask the lady, Debbie. You come from teachers, so you say. All right, great. So answer me this: what do you do with a $5 Starbucks gift certificate?
You know what? You're greedy. You're selfish.
No, I'm asking you. What would your family do? Any of the teachers in your family, if some kid came to them who was getting a D and said, here, be happy with that.
What are you talking about, man?
You know what?
Wow, I think I'm speaking English.
You make no sense. And you call yourself,
I'm making
you call
perfect
yourself
sense.
A teacher?
You're
oh,
making
my gosh.
Perfect sense. I can barely make ends meet. Some kid wants to pass a grade,
and he gives me a $5 gift certificate to Starbucks. I get one lousy latte out of it. And he wants an A? Roger?
No
one plays me like that.
Wait a minute, man. You're telling me, in full view of this audience, she gave you an iPad, she gets an A. Kid gives you a $5 gift certificate, he gets a C.
What are you saying?
Are you telling me, then, that people can buy their grades?
No, they cannot. I have to have respect for them and their motives. That's what I've been trying to say to you.
What's the respect you have for this girl?
Well, I've got a lady on the line. She's not going to like it.
No, what's the respect you have for the girl?
There's a woman on the phone line right now.
I understand. What's the respect? What's the respect?
She's good looking. Okay? She's got large breasts.
You got to be kidding me.
You pushed me. So I'm telling you. What happened to the caller? You there, Debbie?
Yeah,
was that
yeah,
too
I'm
much?
I was astounded.
Was that too much for you? I'm telling you, I am trying to be honest with you.
Is the school district listening to this?
The school district has no choice. They've got to take what they can get because most of the teachers are out with alcoholism, drug. I don't know what their problem is.
You go in there and you give out an A because she's got big breasts and she gave you an iPad.
Okay, I'll lie. I gave her a good grade because she passed all the tests. There, do you want that? Is that you feeling better with that one? I would rather give you the truth.
Debbie, thank you for your call. Yeah. I would call the school district.
I think this whole show
you're right.
is a joke.
You know what? I don't blame you. If you're kidding with us...
If I'm kidding with you about what?
If you're kidding with me about why you passed that girl...
Phil, you invited me on your program. I didn't pound down the door to come and sit on your show and be humiliated and insulted. I got a woman here telling me their whole family have been teachers. Oh, wait a minute. No, they're not. They're heart surgeons. Why don't you ask her some questions?
All right, Debbie, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to Kathy in Bloomington, Illinois. Kathy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. Go ahead, please.
Hello. I just wanted to state that I don't think that he's doing her any favors. And the gift of hope would be a gift of going on and hoping that the next teacher is going to pass her. And it's not really fair to say that her motives were not correct. But the moral thing to do would be to turn around, set that iPad up, get it the way it needs to be, get it back to her, and give her a chance to learn off of it.
Well, I agree with you, but I need it. I've got to have it. I have been doing so much work with the astronomy, and there are so many different folders that I have to keep track of. This iPad, it saved my mind. It saved my sanity. It's probably saved my visitation with my son.
But the job for a teacher is to save the child's life, not the child saving the teacher's life.
This girl, can I tell you something, just between you and me? Maybe you'll understand what I'm saying. She's 16 going on 23. All she cares about is this quarterback. She's not going anywhere. She's going to be sweeping up a hair salon. Her parents have money.
So in other words, you've decided, you've made this decision, she's not going anywhere, and you, Dr. Ron Tarner, you are going to decide you'll take the gift because she's not worth it.
Oh, my God, the hypocrisy.
And it's teachers like you that caused that to happen, that caused it to go that direction.
You mean the girl sweeping up a hair salon?
You know, why don't you give this girl a chance and work with her? And yeah, just like this lady said, it doesn't have to be this girl sweeping up a hair salon and her parents have got money and all she wants is to whatever it is you said that she wants to do.
She wants to be with a quarterback.
Be with a quarterback. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to take a break here. Get Ron situated. As we talk about the gifts that we give students, give teachers, and what the student expects in return, and what the teacher ought to do with that gift, which seems like a no-brainer, but Dr. Tarner here has other thoughts. 877-876-PHIL. We're with Dr. Ron Tarner on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
One lousy latte.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. As we talk to Dr. Ron Tarner from the Cloverdale School District, who's been teaching, doing some substitute teaching there, you take gifts from students, and you let that influence your thinking in terms of what grade that student's going to get. Now, you've been hearing from people who are either teachers, have teachers in their family, or otherwise are very concerned with this. You don't have any concern.
I have a great deal of concern, Phil. I have concern for myself. I have concern for my son. The iPad app that allows you to translate a street sign is going to change my life. I'm going to Mexico right after I get done with this teaching stint that I'm doing. I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to Mexico so I could recharge. I'm going to Mexico so I could come back and go back to work at the observatory, swinging for the fences. And while I'm in Mexico, I can use this to translate street signs. To translate, am I going into a restaurant? Am I going into a pharmacy? Am I going into a nightclub? Am I going into a pharmacy, and what I really want to be going into is a nightclub? I will be able to do all of these things because this young lady gave me this. And what did she want in return? I don't know. She simply said, I hope that my life is as sweet as yours, or I even forget what the card said.
But you gave her an A.
I believe I gave her an A, and if I did give her an A, that's what I gave her an A. And
did you give her an A or didn't you?
What did she say I gave her?
An A?
If I was it a class that I was teaching?
Didn't she give you the iPad?
Yes.
All right, then it was a class you were teaching. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. This is Hilda in Detroit listening on WDTW. Hilda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I think Mr. Turner deserves to pay the price for a bribe. What is the penalty for bribery? For accepting bribe?
No. This is not a public official taking a bribe to build a bridge.
Yes,
no.
You are.
You need to look up your law.
Because you're in a public school teaching students.
It's public. How do you know it's public school?
You sound like you're a desperate person. You don't sound like an educated person saying that you need that iPad
from that student so that
you can translate street signs in Mexico.
You don't sound like an educated person. Living in a city like Detroit and telling me what is moral.
That's exactly why I can tell you because I know what has gone on in government. I don't work in government.
What
you need to do is pay the penalty for what you have done. You've tarnished your name of doctor. You've tarnished that. And you're just Mr. Turner. Because you have low-rated yourself to accepting bribes rather than looking at
gift certificate
real
for
grades
never,
and looking at
well,
real
she just wants
achievement
to give a speech, so.
For passing students.
Why do I have to listen to this?
Because the woman is entitled to her
because
opinion.
You integrated yourself to nothing more than a bribe taker.
I did not. I didn't pass that kid who gave me the Starbucks gift certificate.
Yes, you did. You gave him a C.
We had a D. D is passing.
Well, what are you doing, man? Let me ask you a question. The kid gave you a Starbucks gift certificate.
Right.
And it affected his grade?
I don't know that it did. That's what I'm trying to tell you and this lady. I don't know that it did.
Well, do you get paid to teach? I mean, because if you get paid to teach,
why
do you wait for these gifts? Why do you need these children to give you gifts?
Have you ever seen an
it's
iPad?
A laugh when you say,
do you realize how amazing
the
iPad is?
So that I can go and translate street signs and translate other signs.
It has the,
so that
go
I
to
know.
My PC app. They're a sponsor of this show. I can access my home or work computer just from my iPad. And I will tell you one other thing, too. Did you ever
you
see the television show Star
sad.
Trek? Did you ever
and
see
you
the television
to
show
leave
Star
that
Trek?
Position and go somewhere
oh,
else.
God,
actually,
I
tell you what
lady.
You need.
I really want
Robert
to hurt
Bob.
Woman.
That's
on.
Who you need on your case. We have Robert
who?
Bob here. You need him on your case, and he would do what
Robert
you need done.
Robert Bob.
Yeah.
What's he?
That,
what's he?
Well, I'm not going to go into all of that. You know about
like
Detroit, so you look that
he
up.
He sounds like
You're
a phony baloney to me.
You look that up. You look Robert that up Bob? Who he is, and you'll see who,
yeah,
who
just
he
did.
Is.
Yeah, I just did. I just did. He's a cartoon character. I just did. Cartoon character? I'll tell you this. Did you ever see Star Trek? Okay. The computer on the bridge is a garbage
you
can
can't
compared
tell me
to what
anything.
The iPad can do.
Oh, what are you talking
I've
about, the computer on the bridge?
Of your garbage. You can't tell me anything. The only thing you
Robert
need to
Bob?
Do is pay for what you have done.
What about
because
Timmy?
Those
what about Willie Williams?
Are looking to you for an education. And to
Robert
pass
Bob,
them
like
because they
William
have
Willie.
Given you a gift is denying them
right.
an education.
Absolutely. All right, Hilda.
Well, she said Robert Bob. That's like saying William Willie. No one's named that. It's the other way. Bob Robert. Is that what you meant?
Thank you very much, ma'am. He's a Detroit City School emergency financial manager, by the way. Hilda, thank you for that information. That's what Robert Bob is. Okay.
What do I need some guy that is running the finances of a city that is ready to go belly up at any minute? I need him? Oh, my God! What?
You need something, man. Otherwise, you're going to wind up in the can. You're going to wind up, just like that lady said, in jail.
Jail?
Jail. And then that son that you love so much, and you should, the son that you want to have visitation, he's going to come and see you through a pane of glass, man.
Because the guy that winds up in jail is the guy that gave you the $5 gift certificate for Starbucks, okay, one lousy latte, and meanwhile that girl gave me an iPad that's every bit the computer on the bridge of the Star Trek, and then some. Think about that.
No, man, I won't, because I'd like to stay on the planet Earth. Thank you.
Phil Henry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
As the subject was in a seated position, he used a two-handed pistol grip hold.
That's very concerning. I'm very scared. I first of all, I can't even believe that could happen.
Some of our colleagues last night and others who didn't think that...
it was originally, really, it was Will Dawes Butler was the original guy who did it.
He proceeded to rip his shirt off and then take his pants off.
Boy, what a headache.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch, and through the looking glass we go, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Coming up this hour, the alleged WikiLeaks founder's sex assaults are leaked. Details, I should say. And a drug maker picks a bad way to lay off 1,500 employees. That's right. Plus, Al Sharpton says the FCC is mulling public hearings to discuss Rush Limbaugh's alleged racism. And our number is 877-876-PHIL. PhilHendryShow.com is also the web home of the Phil Hendry Show. Go on over there and get a backstage pass. You watch live streaming video of the show. You can listen to the audio on our live streaming video, as well as access our thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archived material. We have classic Phil podcasts. We have our daily podcasts. We have mini podcasts. Brother, we got podcasts, man. And it's all over there at PhilHendryShow.com. We have a news feed, blogs, comment section for everyone that is a Backstage Pass member, and guaranteed email response from your brother here, Phil Hendry, if you're a Backstage Pass member. And believe me, when I say, you know, we're responding to email, some of this stuff is getting psycho, you know.
What are you saying?
Well, it's not psycho, but I mean, some people are like, how come you're talking to me like that, you know? Like, I'm not... your psychiatrist, you know, I will respond to your email.
Yeah, you know, they know that you're going to respond to email, so they're all, like, talking to you about how they're all, you know, their lives suck and all that stuff.
Well, I just tell them I'm not, you know, I can't do that, man. You know, I'll talk to you about normal things, but I'm not going to get into your personality problems. God almighty. You know, we have some of the great, I think we got the greatest fans in radio. They're so passionate about our show, so into our show, but there's a small percentage of them that are, like, weird, man. I mean, they're, like, over the line.
Yeah, well, I know people are that, they're getting, like, psycho and everything.
Right. I may have to start arming myself, you know, with tasers and Browning automatic weapons and...
What about a tank? Like, get a tank.
I could have a tank, you know.
What about, like, a flak jacket?
Well, I don't think I'd need a flak jacket if I had a tank, but...
What about a Browning automatic rifle?
I just said a Browning automatic rifle.
What about a BAR?
That's a Browning automatic rifle.
What about, like, that Browning that...
Will you shut up with the Browning, okay? The Browning, by the way, was predated the Thompson submachine gun, just for people who want a little historical note. All right, 877-876-PHIL. There's so much to talk about, so much to get into. What did I just talk about, this Julian Assange guy? But I should mention right at the top of the hour, because he was very influential in the life and the times of artists that my generation liked. He was very good friends with Frank Zappa. He came from Los Angeles. He was a native, I think, of the same area where Frank Zappa came from. Where is that, like Lancaster? I think Zappa and Don Van Vliet, who was also known as Captain Beefheart. He died today, yesterday now, Friday, at the age of 69, according to his manager. The cause of Van Vliet's death was not immediately known, though several outlets were reporting it was due to complications from multiple sclerosis, which he'd battled since the 1990s. Van Vliet was an accomplished avant-garde musician and visual artist who, along with a constantly rotating crew of fellow oddballs, his hand-picked magic band, and we all remember hearing about, you know, Captain Beefheart and his magic band. As a matter of fact, I would hear a lot about Captain Beefheart and his magic band, but every time I turned the radio on to hear him...
You weren't on the radio?
They didn't play him on the radio, no. Finally, when we got FM rock and roll, they would start to play some of his stuff. The origin of his famous Captain Beefheart stage name remains somewhat cloudy. Well, it's probably just some weird-ass name he picked. Some say it came from a script he wrote with childhood friend and rival Frank Zappa, but the impact it would have on the world of music and art is not. Beginning in 1967 with the release of Beefheart and the Magic Band's seminal Safe as Milk, and rolling on through other classic bizarre gems like 1969's Trout Mask Replica, which melded elements of blues, jazz, and avant-garde spoken word, and was named by Rolling Stone as the 58th greatest album of all time in 2003. Also 1972's bar-friendly Clear Spot and 1978's Shiny Beast Bat Chain Puller. Man, oh man.
That's pretty funny, like Zappa.
Yeah, they both had a similar sense of humor, yeah. Bat Chain Puller. Anyway, Captain Beefheart forged a territory that was uniquely, unquestionably his. Record sales and the mainstream media be damned. Well, we all know about that, don't we? Now let's listen a little bit here of Captain Beefheart and his magic band. And here he performs a live version of the song Her Eyes Are a Blue Million Miles. Wow. Off his album, Rhino, off the album, what does that mean, Rhino High Five? That's not his album. It's off of Rhino, right?
Well, yeah, I thought it was.
Rhino probably put the collection together. Here it is.
That ain't even music, man.
What?
That's not even music.
Hey, why don't you shut up, man, until the song's done?
Yeah. Hey, why don't you shut up, man?
Were you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to him.
I'm trying to hear the song. What are you saying?
That don't sound like music to me.
All right, so it don't sound like music to you, man. Some people... See, it's Robert, it's not about... This music ain't, like, dance-to-it music. It's goofy, right?
Well, yeah, I'll give you that.
All right, well, if you understand that it's goofy, then you understand it. It's goofball. It's, to a musician, it's probably got a lot of stuff going on, too, because he was a... I believe that Don Van Vliet... I know that Zappa could read music, meaning they could read musical charts. And I think Don Van Vliet could read musical charts. And so they wrote, when I say these guys wrote music, they literally, you know.
You mean like that, like the movie where Tom Hulse was in?
Amadeus, yeah. About Mozart.
About Mozart, man. Yeah, like him?
Yeah, they could write music like Mozart. That's what Frank Zappa could, and so could this guy. So they did a lot of weird stuff. Zappa wrote a symphony, I think, or something like that, that he did with the L.A. Philharmonic called 200 Motels. So, you know, in the process, going on with the story here about Don Van Vliet, Captain Beefheart, in the process, he earned a legion of loyal followers, including Sonic Youth's Thurston Moore, Nirvana's Kurt Cobain, the White Stripes' Jack White, who, along with his band, the Dead Weather, filmed their Treat Me Like Your Mother video near Van Vliet's childhood home in Lancaster, California. I was right, it was Lancaster. And The Simpsons creator Matt Groening, and along with a handful of other acts, is credited with ushering in the genre we now commonly refer to as alternative rock. After releasing Ice Cream for Crow in 1982, Van Vliet all but retired from the music industry, although the Magic Band would continue on without him, focusing instead on his other passion, painting. He would spend the remainder of his days living in Northern California with his wife Jan, creating abstract expressionist works, which showed off in New York's Michael Werner Gallery. By the 1990s, he largely disappeared from the public eye, save for a few appearances, most prominently in Anton Corbijn's film Some Yo-Yo Stuff, where he appeared to be frail and weakened.
What?
Some Yo-Yo Stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
In a statement released to a Rolling Stone, the Michael Werner Gallery called Van Vliet a complex and influential figure in the visual and performing arts and added that his music and art will live on as his lasting legacy. After two decades in the spotlight as an avant-garde composer and performer, Van Vliet retired from performing to devote himself to wholeheartedly painting and drawing. The more I read this, the more far out this cat gets. He ain't nothing like me, you know?
You are, yeah, he like a Picasso or something.
Well, not about Picasso. But I mean, this dude was like an artist, you know?
Yeah, it's cool, but
it ain't nothing I know anything about. I mean, I he's all like music and then painting and.
What are you going to do? You retire. What would you? Wouldn't you paint?
Paint? What the hell am I going to paint?
Garage door?
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'd paint, a garage door.
What do you mean, man? What do you do when you retire?
What am I going to do when I retire? I'm going to sit on my ass and do nothing. I'm going to stare at a wall. That's what I'm going to do when I retire. Okay?
You don't want to do no painting or nothing.
What painting am I going to do? Are you crazy? What painting am I? I can't even draw, man.
Have you ever, can you draw a stick man?
Can I do what?
Can you draw a stick man?
Yeah, I can draw a stick man.
Well, you can do a stick man and then just do a lot of colors and stuff on it.
Nobody's going to...
What's wrong with that?
No one's going to buy my stick, man, with a bunch of colors on it. Guaranteed, man. I got to paint nothing. This is all I know how to do. You understand? This is it. This is all I know how to do. And once this is over, forget it, man.
What about, like, writing children's books?
Hey, buddy, you putting me on or something?
No.
I'm not writing any children's books. Writing would be the only thing. I can't write just... I could write, but I ain't going to write. I'm not going to do anything, and that's all I'm going to do. I ain't going to do nothing. All right, coming up, we have the Dr. Green Thumb report. There you go. I may try getting my medical marijuana license. How about that? I'll open up a dispensary.
That's good.
All right. When we come back, we have the Dr. Green Thumb report, and then we have a little discussion of Barack Obama, our question of the week. Who does he have to fire to get elected to a second term? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
And it's time for the Dr. Green Thumb Report on this Friday night. The Phil Hendry Show presenting the Dr. Green Thumb Report. Dateline, Tinley Park, Illinois. Family furious the cops busted pot operation. A Tinley Park, Illinois couple was out of jail and cleaning up their house Thursday evening after being arrested and charged with running $1 million marijuana lab from their home. John Geekin, age 52, and his geek wife Darlene, age 52, as fate would have it, didn't deny growing the plant but said they weren't distributing and seemed most upset about the raid on their 7,000-square-foot home. Located in the 5300 block of West 175th Street. You can't come into somebody's home and do that, said John Geekin as he stood among the belongings strewn about the room. It doesn't matter what they found. Yes, they can. Because they've got this gun, they've got this badge, and they've got the love of Jesus in their pretty green eyes. Boo! Along with the pot plants, police said they found $7,000 in cash and computers and charts used to track the operation. Mr. Geekin refused the official's estimation as to the amount of pot they had. Are they retarded? started? There's not $1 million worth of pot. I'd like to have that money. I'd be living in Mexico right now instead of my 7,000 square foot house, which isn't near large enough for my big fat ass or my ego. Darlene Geekin said it was the faltering economy that drove her to the pot business. The real estate taxes went up $4,000. My sons are unemployed. They can't find jobs. John and Darlene Geekin, as well as their 27-year-old deadbeat son, Christopher, and another slob, 22-year-old James Osmolski, were all arrested and charged with production, manufacturing, and possession with intent to deliver. Good. Good riddance. Can we have your dope? Anyway. New Jersey mother's son accused of selling, guess what? Marijuana. Keensburg, New Jersey. Authorities have accused a 62-year-old mother and a 29-year-old son of selling marijuana out of their New Jersey apartment, or their New Jersey apartment, one of the two. Irene Steam and Brett Strumberger were arrested after Keensburg police raided their home on Wednesday. Deputy Police Chief Michael Pigo told the Asbury Park Press police acted on complaints from concerned citizen. Strumberger and Stern were charged with possession of marijuana with intent to distribute. It's not clear whether they have retained lawyers or whether they know what a lawyer is. Dateline The Hague, Netherlands. The Dutch government moved a step closer to barring tourists from Holland's signature marijuana bars with a ruling by the European Court of Justice on Thursday that the ban wouldn't violate European law. The Luxembourg-based court said the southern Dutch city of Maastricht was within its rights when it briefly banned non-Dutch residents from its soft drug dens in 2005. The policy aimed at curbing problems by so-called drug tourists who flock to the city like a bunch of slobs from nearby Belgium and Germany, and they make the place too hot for everybody. The visitors have a reputation for rowdiness, creating havoc on the roads and in the city's narrow medieval lanes. You guys might want to update the roads, though. Seriously, I mean, it's like been 500 years ago. Well, this road was just built 500 years ago. Why would we want to update that? In any event, however, and foregoing and in conclusion, while marijuana is technically illegal in the Netherlands, it's been sold openly for decades in designated cafes known as coffee shops. That's what they call pot over there, I guess. Coffee.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I get a cup of coffee, please?
Right. They give you a baggie of dope, I guess. Police make no arrests for possession of small amounts. However, the new conservative government of Prime Minister Mark Root is planning to make the coffee shop members-only clubs aimed at shutting out tourists. The court said in its written ruling that banning foreigners from coffee shops constitutes a measure capable of substantially limiting drug tourism and consequently of reducing the problem that those tourists cause. Nice going! See, all these laws that bar you from having fun are the result of a dumbass or collections of dumbasses, and they think it's funny. Now, one of the ways that it wouldn't be funny is if you find out who the dumbasses were that had the law passed to keep people from smoking weed and beat the crap out of them. How about that? Craigslist ad leads man's arrest on drug charges. Nevada City, North Carolina. County narcotics officers responded to a Craigslist ad, arrested a Nevada City man for allegedly trying to sell 5 pounds of dope. Gary Lester Feiss, age 47, allegedly put an ad in the popular internet marketplace to sell his extra meds. The advertisement listed different strains of medical marijuana, as well as dollar amounts for the product to help cover growing costs and delivery of the product. Undercover officers answering the ad during a routine search of online advertisements and met with Faze, sized him up, realized he was a jackass who allegedly provided a sample of his marijuana, and then Faze agreed to sell 5 pounds of the dope for $8,000. Then detectives from Nevada County Sheriff's Narcotics Task Force and Major Crimes Unit got a search warrant, agreed to meet Faze in the parking lot, and busted him. Finally, California, naturally, or excuse me, California man, naturally, shipped marijuana to Tennessee, Spring City, Tennessee. Rhea County Sheriff investigators arrested Anthony Livers after he shipped 8 pounds of dope, that would be medical marijuana, to a relative's house in Rhea County from California. No one was at the home at the time of the delivery, so the postal worker left a note for Livers to pick up the package at the Spring City post office. Employees were noticing a strong marijuana smell coming from the box, and they alerted Rhea County deputies. Investigators brought in drug sniffing dogs who picked up on the scent, and the officers set up a sting operation, and the guy was arrested, and he's stupid. That's the Dr. Green Thumb report. You know, there's so many people that make the same mistake over and over again. What do they call it? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. Don't mail weed. Don't mail large amounts of dope. Dumb. Large amounts of dope in the mail will get you arrested and every Christian soul. All right. 87. You know, by the way, when I say every Christian soul, you know.
Yeah, it's from Close Encounters.
Yeah, it's from the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So I'm not just coming. I'm not trying. You know, it's not. I'm not being disrespectful. That's exactly what the guy says in the movie Close Encounters. He says, we need something that will scare every Christian soul out of whatever, 50 square miles, because there's a flying saucer that's about to land.
Really?
You didn't see the movie?
Uh-uh.
You didn't see Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
No.
It's pretty good. It's the special effects is old and everything, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool movie. It's about a guy that, and a bunch of people who are suddenly seeing a vision in their mind, right?
Yeah.
And you know what the vision is?
Uh-uh.
It's of Devil's Tower, Wyoming, that kind of mountain, you know?
I don't know.
Well, it's like a mountain, and they're seeing this. And they're attempting to create it. They're attempting to create it by drawing it. They're attempting to create it by sculpting it. In the case of the hero of the movie, which is played by Richard Dreyfuss, he tries to sculpt it with clay and with mashed potatoes. And his family thinks he's nuts and they split, right? So finally, these people, all of them together, not together, but separately, find their way to the Devil's Tower in Wyoming.
Yeah, and then they got to get everybody out of here because the flying saucer is going to land.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, that's why they need to go to this Devil's Tower, because these people have been drawn by the aliens who are going to be landing a flying saucer there. And for some reason, these people have been given the message that the aliens are going to be hitting town, so they want to. They go.
I don't get it, man. In other words, I mean, who told them?
Never mind, man. They're just getting a mental thing, and they go to Devil's Tower in Wyoming. And there's an army guy there, and he needs to evacuate everybody, because he wants to have this flying saucer land with a limited amount of publicity, right?
Yeah.
So they come up with a phony baloney excuse that nerve gas got released into the air, and so they got to get everybody out of there. Okay? And that's what he said when he said, I want something that'll get every Christian soul out of here.
Yeah, but I don't understand that they went to a mountain with mashed potatoes.
Oh, I don't. You know what, man? I messed it up, okay? I can't explain it, okay? I just don't.
Here, man. Here it is on IMDb.
IMDb.
Yeah.
Read that. All right, a drug maker picks a... are we breaking? Yeah, a drug maker picks a bad way to lay off 1,700 employees. Wait till you hear what this guy did. Plus, who does Obama have to fire for a second term? Our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We have a story here that, you know, it's an important story, and we only unfortunately have one side to the story, and I never liked that. I like to have, and did you guys find anything?
Yeah, but I looked, and only one was Huffington Post, and that's it.
Well, we tried to find that Huffington Post had a story there, but I did find this one here, right here.
Sanofi Aventis, worst performing pharmaceutical.
What's that mean?
It means it's the worst performing pharmaceutical. It did not perform. It's not, its profits suck. Its performance sucks as far as Wall Street goes. Now, why am I bringing all of this up? On November the 30th, employees at Sanofi Aventis Pharmaceuticals, the world's fourth biggest drug maker, received an email from the company wishing them a happy Thanksgiving them and telling them to check their email again at 5 a.m. on Tuesday, December the 2nd. This is according to the Huffington Post. I'm not saying that the Huffington Post doesn't get things right, but I am saying this, that nowadays, folks, you can't just read the Huffington Post or anybody and figure you get the news. You have to find it somewhere else as well. A.R., they're not using the person's name. A.R., a Sanofi Aventis sales rep in California who wished to be anonymous as her contract forbids publicly disparaging the company, said she and her co-, they're going to find out who you are, A.R., said she and her coworkers each received one of the two mass emails the company sent out on that Tuesday morning, December the 2nd. Both emails contained a code, an 800 number, and a call line, either 8 a.m. or 8:30 a.m. The employees who were instructed to call in at the earlier time were told they would keep their jobs. But the 1,700 employees who called in at 8:30 weren't so lucky. They were laid off by a voice on the other line that told them to stop working immediately and had no opportunity for question or comment. I guess it was a recording. Unfortunately, AR found herself in the second group. The way they did this was so brutal and inhumane, she told the Huffington Post, we were each assigned an employee number. Okay, so that's the lady's complaining. She got fired. And how they fired people, I don't know. But they did lay off 1,700 people as of December the 2nd. It's a poorly performing company. The Scranton Times-Tribune of Pennsylvania wrote an article on October the 9th, 2010, that there were going to be 1,700 layoffs, but it focused on the fact that local employees of the company were safe. And when they say local employees of the company, we're talking about New Jersey. This is where this company is located, Bridgewater, New Jersey. Now, the reason why we brought this up to you guys was that firing people ahead of Christmas is always just, it's going to stick in your craw, isn't it? Now, there may be some very good reasons for that. There may be some very good reasons for people being fired just ahead of Christmas in terms of the financials and the second, third, fourth quarter, etc., and the fiscal year and la-la-la-la, ba-ba-ba, but it's still one hell of a brutal thing to do. And that's what they did on December the 2nd. Hi, it's Christmas? Yeah, okay, you're fired. If we make it through December.
What's that?
That's that Merle Haggard song.
What did you do that for?
Because it reminded me of the Merle Haggard song, okay? So anyway, Sanofi of Venice told its employees they would be paid through December 31st, and they gave them a modest severance package. Oh, modest. AR, who had only been working at the company a year and a half, received 13 weeks of pay and benefits. It's 3 months, man. That's 3 months severance. AR says a representative from, you know what? 3 months severance ain't bad after only a year and a half. Give me a break. You ought to work in radio, man. You know that 90% of the guys that are working in radio, they get 2 weeks. AR says a representative from an outside company hired by Sanofi of Venice to repossess materials came by almost immediately after the layoff to take back the company car she'd been driving. Of course they would. My manager had convinced me to sell my personal car 3 months earlier because he said the company was in really good shape, she said. I don't really read the newspapers, and I didn't see that Scranton Times piece that said they were going to lay off 1,700 people on October the 9th, 2010, so I went ahead and sold my car. I might have to use my severance pay to buy a new... I can't feel sorry for this woman because she's looking for reasons to, you know... The reality is the economy sucks, and the people that run Savanti, whatever the hell this crap can company is called, they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. They're losing money. They're the fourth largest. Well, they're going to be the fifth or the sixth or the seventh. Jack Cox, the senior director of media relations, says it wasn't ideal. Rather than cascade these announcements and stretch the notifications over the course of days, we decided to address these colleagues at one time to explain the rationale for the reductions and express appreciation, whatever. We acknowledged in the call that delivering this news on a teleconference wasn't ideal, but given the scope and scale of the reduction, there was no other way to share this news quickly and consistently. Well, you know what, Jack, you and your friends there at Sanofi of Venice, you leave a lot to be desired when it comes to handling people. It sounds, I would say, pretty heavy-handed, ham-fisted. You jackasses are so fast to fire people that sometimes you don't realize what it is you're doing, but I understand you have to fire people. So it was ham-fisted. They're going to hate your guts, but you know that that's life, right? You understand that, right?
They got to understand they're going to fire people and nothing they can do.
There's nothing you can do. They're going to hate your guts. And in many ways, they have a right to hate your guts. Because December the 2nd, no matter what it is that you guys need to get done for your little drug-making company, that's a hell of a time to fire people. Do you know that, Jack? Are you aware of that, Jack?
Well, I don't know, Phil. No.
December the 2nd, man. You know what's coming up. A lot of people are Jewish. A lot of people are Muslim. And a lot of people aren't. But I understand, and I'm not being facetious. I understand. They got to get their company straightened out. And one of the things that happens, as you know, folks, you can do, you read the newspaper. They fired 1,700 people. They have sold off some assets. They have merged divisions. And sometimes that doesn't help. And in a year or 6 months, you read Sanofi Aventis, they went belly up with their legs in the air, man. They are no more, baby. And that can possibly happen. Because they got rid of these 1,700 folks. The New York, December 16th, at half of the trading session, the market is trading higher. Now, this was today. Stocks of pharmaceutical companies are also trading higher, with the New York Stock Exchange Drug Index at 308.03, which represents a 6% versus the previous trading session close. That's an increase, okay? However, with all of that good stuff happening, this drug company, this Sanofi Aventis, sucks. They went down a half of a percent. And when you want to make the bottom line look good for your shareholders, here's what you do. You fire people. It's the easiest way to fatten up a bottom line in the world. Making actual profit, going out and actually selling, going out and actually making a product that somebody wants to buy, going out and, you know, expanding your business, that's very, very difficult to do. Some of these guys, to hold on to their jobs, they fire people. That way, look at this. See, I saved you money and I fired and this. They hold on to their job. That's why we hate you, you technocrats. That's why we can't stand you slobs. More than anything else, it isn't the fact that we got fired. It's the fact that we got fired in lieu of you guys knowing how to do your jobs. That's all. And I say we. I'm speaking for, well, I'd like to think I'm speaking for the working man and woman of America. And I thank you.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb.
Anyway.
That's a very beautiful monologue, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. Okay. World famous Phil Henry Show here. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Now then. Obama wants to have a second term, and I thought we could kick around here in our news panel here this evening, Bud, you and Robert. Who does Obama have to fire to get a second term, Bud?
Well, I mean, I don't think he's going to get a second term. I think he'll be defeated.
No, no, no. I understand that. I understand you don't think he'll get a second term. But who do you think sucks in his administration that needs to get fired? Oh, baby.
Well, I mean, I don't like that lady on NBC, on MSNBC.
Or MSNBC?
MSNBC, man.
Yeah, who's the lady that they have?
Who?
Obama.
A lady that Obama had? I don't know who you're talking about.
She's always standing on the driveway there.
That Jarrett lady.
That, what's her name, Lisa Jarrett?
Yeah, I think they should fire her. She's an idiot. Because they said that, I just think she's an idiot.
The Valerie Jarrett. Is that her name? Yeah, Valerie Jarrett. And you think that she should be fired because she's an idiot. You think that woman, she's a senior advisor to President Obama. What is she doing wrong?
She's just an idiot. She stands there and, oh, yeah, well, you know, presidents can do this and everything.
Robert, what do you think?
I think Joe Biden, man. I think Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden's an idiot, man.
Yeah, that I was going to say him, too.
No, you weren't, man. You had all the time in the world to think of something. You come up with Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah, you already picked your name, but you agree with him, huh?
Yeah. I was going to say Joe Biden.
No, you weren't, man. You had all the time to pick Joe Biden. You didn't pick Joe Biden.
All right, well, why do you say Joe Biden?
Well, I mean, Joe Biden, nobody likes Joe Biden. Nobody likes Joe Biden. Everybody hates him, you know, because he's so stupid. He's so, like, redneck and everything, you know.
And well, some people like him.
No, I agree with Robert. I think Joe Biden, I mean, Biden's okay. You can tell that he sort of just stands there with a big grin on his kisser. But I don't know. He doesn't come off, of all the vice presidents we've had, okay, let's say Dick Cheney to Al Gore, even Dan Quayle, man. Quayle makes this guy look, you know, really. I think Joe Biden makes Quayle look like a genius.
I don't know what Quayle is.
Quayle was the vice president of Daddy Bush. All right. Well, I think, in my opinion, Obama needs to get rid of. In my opinion, I think Eric Holder. This guy has got. He's walking around. He can't find his ass with both hands. I listened to this man, and I really wanted to believe in Eric Holder. I really wanted to, because he's the attorney general, and that's a really important position given what the country's been through over the last 10 years. I listened to this jackass in front of that Senate committee talking about whether he would. This was the question, and he never answered it. Here's the question. Would you try Osama bin Laden in a military tribunal?
Oh yeah, I remember this.
Or in a civilian court?
What'd he say?
He said, I don't have to answer that because we'll never capture him alive. And they kept asking, okay, well, fine, I understand, but just you know, for craps and giggles, will you try this guy in a military tribunal or a civilian court? Well, we'll never have to do that because we'll never catch him alive. I'm telling you, it'll never happen. You never saw a guy try to squirm out of answering something in your life. And guess what? He never did answer it.
Why didn't they make him answer it?
Because they didn't make him answer it. And I don't know why they didn't make him answer it. If they'd made him answer it, that probably would have been the end of Eric Holder right there. Oh, my God, this guy, it was driving me out of my mind. Why is that a hard question to answer? Hi. Oh, here's the quote. Thank you. Thanks, bud.
Yeah, I thought I'd look it up, or I had Rance look it up. I told Rance, I said, look it up. And I told him and didn't be quick about it.
No, you didn't.
You don't talk to him that way?
Well, yeah, I did.
No, you didn't talk to him like that. Here it is. Here's Holder in front of the subcommittee. Let's deal with reality. You're talking about a hypothetical that will never occur. The reality is that we will be reading Miranda rights to the corpse of Osama bin Laden. He will never appear in an American courtroom. That's the reality. He'll be killed by us, or he'll be killed by his own people, so he's not captured by us. We know that. So I guess you can read between the lines. He did say American courtroom, so that's where he would have him.
Oh, man, he would have it in a courtroom.
That's right. That is Eric Holder to a T. He'd have Osama bin Laden, a guy that launched a military attack. I mean, if you listen to Osama bin Laden, he was talking after that happened. He said, this attack is equal, using these brothers, as he put it, using them this way is equal to using one corps of an army. He's using the military terms. How many guys did he use? Like 20 for, you know, there's 4 guys per plane, 5 guys per plane, 20 guys, something like 19. 19, should have been 20. 19 guys take up what you would ordinarily use one Army Corps for. So if this was not a military attack on the United States by psychopaths, yes, by a gang of psychopaths, yes, but nonetheless with a military value to the target, and they launched the attack. This guy wants to take this enemy, the head of a armed international gang, not affiliated with any country, not marching under any flag, not marching under any particular rank. In other words, in violation of every single solitary convention, every Geneva Convention, in violation of everything. You can't even call them prisoners of war. They don't qualify as prisoners of war. This jackass we're going to stick this ass in an American courtroom. He deserves to be waterboarded, probably killed while he's being waterboarded, and then have his ass thrown in a dumpster someplace. He doesn't even exist according to international law.
I didn't know that.
He doesn't. Representative Culberson from Texas asked Holder if Osama bin Laden would have the same rights as Charlie Manson. Holder simply responded, in some ways, I think they're comparable. All right. We'll take a break.
Who else do you think they ought to fire?
I think President Obama should fire... I think he's fine. We'll be back. World famous Robert Gibbs. There you go. Phil Hendry Show.
It's Robert the Gibbs. Phil Hendry Show.
Poor bumbling fool.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, let me ask you something. You know, I haven't really talked about this guy, this WikiLeaks guy, because the stupidity around that story has gotten to record-breaking heights. It's reaching for the stars, man, the dumb on that. I mean, that thing is draped. It's oozing in dumb. There's just, from Michael Moore opening his yap, to you name it, man. I mean, people raising money and the dumbasses on the internet that think this has exposed some huge cachet of truths about America being the evil manipulator behind the scenes of oh so many things. WikiLeaks, just for those of you who are listening and those of you who are sober, in other words, you know, you're awake, you're sober and you're clear thinking people, but you may not know that much about the story. Let me tell you this, and you don't have to take my word for this. WikiLeaks has not uncovered anything of any real value other than the fact that it has uncovered rather frank communications along diplomatic channels about people that we deal with in the world. There is nothing, nothing, nothing in what has been leaked by this little man who doesn't even know what he has that's of any significance at all. Nothing. Sure, we think Ahmadinejad's a douchebag. Sure, we think this government or that government's a pain in the ass to deal with. This is the way the American diplomats have been talking to each other since the beginning of time. Since the beginning of the country, American diplomats have discussed with each other in very frank terms the people that we have to deal with internationally. There has been no smoking gun about how America has done dirt here or there. Nothing. It's amazingly clean. This guy, Assange, says he has a lot more he's going to roll out. Well, I got money that says he hasn't gotten anything that's going to top what he's already rolled out. And anybody that's really thinking clearly, even the people that are not big fans of the U.S. government, and I'm so sorry to say that some of them include American citizens, incredibly, like Fatass, or like Oberfuhrer, even they know that there's nothing there. Now what we have, this Assange guy, who I thought might have been railroaded by these charges of rape, I thought, well, look it, if we're going to get this guy, let's get him clean. Don't start, you know, coming up with weird stuff. Well, guess what? Details of his sex crime allegations against this Assange surface. Assange walks out of an ABC interview calling the guy a tabloid schmuck. You'll pardon us, Mr. Assange, but we're Americans. This is our country that you're attempting to take a huge dump on. So, guess what? Leaked police reports from Sweden are providing the most detailed account of to date of the rape and molestation charges against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Assange was freed from a London jail on $300,000 bail on Thursday. Some of that money contributed by Fat Boy himself, by that hot dog sucking Michael Moore. Details have been fairly opaque until now. The UK Guardian, one of WikiLeaks' media partners, now reports it's seen the police documents memorializing the claims made by two alleged victims, Miss A and Miss W. Both women described having sexual encounters with Assange during his visit there last year. And just to get to the meat of the matter, he held a one woman down. According to his statement, she tried to put on some articles of clothing as it was going too quickly and uncomfortably, but Assange ripped them off again. He also held one woman down when she attempted to get him to wear a condom, so on and so forth. So there's a story that we will consider.
Yeah, he can move to Switzerland.
What's Switzerland?
You mean Switzerland.
Switzerland, why?
They're going to legalize incest.
Oh, there you go, Assange. There's hope yet. Phil Hendry Show is produced... Switzerland. Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Charles Wagon, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show's online home is philhendryshow.com for live streaming video, all of those wonderful archives, and the shop, brother. Go get some, man. We'll see you.
Phil Hendry.